Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Mike Salk in for Jake Heaps today. Jake is allegedly at a football camp. Where was that camp, Curtis? You looked it
Royal
up and it was
City.
Royal City.
They got about 10 restaurants in town.
Nice.
Only a 1.35 square mile city footprint.
10 restaurants seems like a lot for
if
that.
You
One
are
of them's
listening,
a subway, so really it's 9.
It's called Royal City?
It is.
If you're listening from Royal City right now, I would bet money Jake is within your eyesight.
Wow.
Like your eye line.
You
your line of vision. You can see him.
Stretch your arm straight out and probably touch him.
You would touch Jake.
215 pounds. You won't be able to miss him. Apparently.
Oh, man.
According to American Ninja Warrior.
Shout out to Jake's performance on American Ninja Warrior.
Jake the biggest celebrity ever to set foot in Royal City? Probably.
I'm sure Brock's been there.
It's near Moses Lake.
I'm sure Brock's been there.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I haven't been there yet, so.
Brock's house used to be
for now, right now, yeah.
Man, your show is fun, but it is right in the middle of lunchtime. Does this drive you crazy every
day?
Yeah,
you mentioned how hungry you are for
now
the
I've
last
eaten. I had a tuna sandwich, and I had some noodles and some, but like.
It's tough. Every time I leave after the show, I'm starving.
What a terrible time
People
for a show.
People don't realize that I sacrifice so much of myself,
what?
Most especially
you don't
my.
Eat during the show?
No.
Why?
How am I going to eat during the show?
I'd eat something. I feel like I'd be deteriorating by the end.
I'm exhausted. I don't know if it's the lack of food or hosting with you,
probably
but I'm exhausted
both.
Right now.
It can be very tiring to work with.
I'm actually glad you're here because you do obviously love baseball. You have a baseball mind. And one of my favorite things is that you're willing to talk about very abstract topics, which this one isn't necessarily abstract, but there's a couple tentacles to it that I want to explore. So the question was brought up by Curtis Rogers, and it was, hey, it's no longer... It's no longer should the Mariners extend to Poto. It's why haven't they yet? Why haven't they yet? And what I fear, Mike, is that it may be because management hasn't fully bought into the rebuild.
So what do you mean
that
by that?
Makes me nervous.
You said that earlier. When you say bought into it,
yes.
Do you mean that they...
Here's the thing. If you felt fully that Jerry DePoto was on the right path, had made all the right moves, and you wanted to make sure that his vision of what the rebuild should look like came to fruition, he'd be extended.
Okay, so that's different from not buying in on the rebuild.
Well, is it?
Well, what I was worried you were saying was that the management wasn't sure they truly wanted to rebuild.
No, I believe that now, and okay. I think you're too late.
Right.
You're already in one.
They committed to this.
Yeah, you're
with
already
both
there.
Feet. They jumped in the pool and said, we're rebuilding. The moment they traded Robinson Cano, they were all into it.
But they clearly haven't seen enough yet from the young pieces of the rebuild to feel like Jerry DePoto has to stay here and finish this.
Yeah, so
we wouldn't have anyone else.
So that's a really good question. And now that I understand it better, let me try.
It took me a minute. I'm so hungry.
I don't know how you focus on this show. I'd be starving all the time.
I've had nothing but coffee.
Stacey's lost 30 pounds since starting the show.
It's
who
like
would have
Survivor.
Guessed?
Today, though, since starting the show today.
Let's see. Are they not bought in on what's happened, or are they not bought in on Jerry's ability to take them good to great? And I don't know. Maybe this is, or is it just a negotiation that's taking a while where they can't seem to come together on terms? Any of those three things are possible. They seem to me to be the three most likely. I guess the other being that they still want to see what else is out there, right? So
you mean what other GM options?
Yeah, or president options. Now they've made a change in their presidential system, their org structure, where the president is no longer above the GM. Right. They're out there hiring a president to replace Kevin Mather. But the way they've changed their org structure, that person would not be hiring and firing the GM. They would be worrying strictly about the business operations. Now, of course, they'd be another advisor to John Stanton, et cetera. But they would not be choosing the baseball ops department. That would also run concurrently up to John Stanton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some internal candidates. There's some external candidates. It doesn't sound as if anybody that they brought in to do that job would affect Jerry DePoto's job, unless you think Theo Epstein is out there as a real possibility for you next year, and you're saying, I want to keep talking it through with Theo before I commit to Jerry, because maybe Theo Epstein would come in and be both the president of baseball ops and the business side of things, and that's too good a proposal to ignore. You've gotta follow it through to the end before committing to Jerry.
Do you think that's a real possibility? Specifically that Theo Epstein is on John Stanton's mind about, like, I want to keep as an option a lucrative job opportunity.
Let me be clear. I don't know the answer. I am not speaking from knowledge.
Right.
But yes, I think so. I mean, from what I've heard from people in the business, and this was last year, this was when the Mather stuff went down, and I started asking people, like, hey, who do you think would replace him? Theo's name came up. And not in a, and what I heard was, well, he wouldn't do it immediately, but maybe after a year. Maybe starting the 22 season after he'd done this bit with baseball. Now, Theo may have designs on taking over for Rob Manfred. So, I mean, I don't know how realistic it all might be. But if he's not going to take over for Manfred, a chance to end another long, terrible streak and have more of a stake in business and come to an area like this with all of the money and tech and sophistication and, you know, Theo's obsession with Pearl Jam. I mean, like, there's a bunch of reasons why, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Here's the thing. I'd sign Jerry Dipoto anyway. I'd sign him anyway.
A multi-year deal?
Yes. GMs don't make that much money. If it turns now, it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say. But if it turns out that Theo Epstein does come in, A, maybe he and Jerry work well together. They're not that different from each other.
I was
and in fact,
ask
I believe
they could coexist.
I think they could. That doesn't mean they could, but I think they could.
Okay.
And secondly, like, okay, well, if you then have to get rid of him, then you get rid of him. You're going to be paying so much money for Theo anyway. You're going to want to give him whatever he needs. So what? So you waste a few million dollars. Like, to me, that's just not that big a concern in the grand scheme of where you're going, certainly not compared to how important it is to have your GM locked up heading into the trade deadline here, which is only, what, 2 weeks away. So I would lock him up, and I'm surprised that they haven't. So that's one possibility is Theo Epstein.
Okay.
Possibility two is what you said. They don't believe Jerry's done a good enough job. I don't know what they're going to see that will show them that he has. If that's the case, then you should just fire him. Like, what are you waiting to see? You're not going to be able to tell this year about Kelnick.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen what you've seen from Gilbert has been great. But if you're going to knock it and say, well, it's only been a couple of months. Well, it's not Jerry's fault that it's only been a couple of months. That's how long it took Gilbert to get here. You knew this was how long these things were going to take when you signed him to a contract of this length. J.P. Crawford's worked out. Okay, does that balance off Evan White, who so far hasn't worked
out?
Or
Sheffield, who regressed.
Sheffield regressed, but what you saw last year was good. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's really challenging. You like what you're getting from Cal Raleigh and you like what Julio Rodriguez is doing. Like, a lot of these guys that he's responsible for, the Cano trade is brilliant and continues to save you money and give you opportunities down the road with Kelnick. So I don't know. The Nola trade was a good one. He's gone out and found a ton of people this year on the scrap heap that mm-hmm. have outperformed.
The bullpen alone.
I mean, what he's done with Paul Sewald and Drew Steckenrider and some of these guys who I'm guessing 70% of the audience has never heard of has been incredible.
Robert Duggar.
Say what you want about the Zunino deal. He flipped Zunino, who did jack in Tampa. He signed there this year as a free agent, so this is not a year that's part of the trade, where he's still a mediocre player that somehow sneaked into an all-star game, and you got a Jake Fraley out of that deal that you really like, that may end up being a better piece of your future than you thought. You've had some bad luck with Kyle Lewis, but when you've seen him, he's been great. I mean, I just don't know what you would point at from Dipoto to say you've been bad and not worthy of an extension.
Is that why you assume that it has more to do with keeping their options open for organizational moves?
Yeah, so now it leads me to my second two possibilities.
What a cliffhanger.
I know, we got four of these. Well, option three, as we said, was he can't go good to great. And I think there is some track record here to point at. What was the year they made it a run? 2018, right before, 2017 mm-hmm. or 18?
Yeah. 18.
Right before they decided to rebuild. They were a good team that year. And then Jerry went out at the deadline and made them worse.
Oh.
Right? I mean, like, we've talked about this a couple of times, bringing in Adam Warren and Zach Duke.
Cameron Maben.
He made them worse. Now, maybe he didn't have enough faith that they were going to be great and they didn't want to sacrifice the future. I'm not necessarily, like, throwing a shot at Jerry there, but the 1 year he's had a chance here to go good to great, they went good to bad. Right. And so maybe there's a belief. Again, I'm speculating. This is what you have to do when there's no deal done. Maybe they view it as, hey, Jerry's going to he's the good guy to get you 80% of the way there. He's like Moses. He'll get you to the promised land, but you got to have his brother to take you over the river. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's that concern that Jerry doesn't have the final killer instinct, that he's a builder, not a completer.
Mm.
Okay. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but okay, maybe that's one. And then finally, the last possibility is just they are negotiating. They just can't agree on money. And that soon that will happen and they'll have
a deal
done. That's
a boring answer.
I know.
I don't like that one. That's boring.
But I think it's the most likely.
Really?
Yeah.
Because now I'm kind of convinced on the Theo Epstein situation.
I think the most likely is that they're just negotiating.
What if the most likely is they're negotiating, but rather than money, they can't agree on time?
That's also a good possibility. I think ultimately, though, Jerry's going to lose because he doesn't have a ton of leverage. Like, at the end of the day, there are only 30 jobs, and if he walks away from this one, that will be the second job in a row he's walked away from. Good luck getting a third. Like, I don't, you know, yeah, there's reasons why he walked away from the Angels gig with Artie Moreno, but I don't think he can just walk away from a second job over, like, at some point he's just going to have to sign. So I think that's what will eventually happen. Deadline spur action. Maybe there's some deadline coming up at some point for them. But I do think that's the most likely scenario, is just simply they're negotiating and it hasn't gotten done yet.
Let's say we hear news and Jerry DePoto, they wouldn't always tell us terms, but let's say it's reportedly. We read from Divish or Shannon that it's a one-year deal. What would it tell you?
Well, that would tell me that they're waiting to, that what you've said has a lot of validity, that they're waiting to see whether or not some of these young players pay off and what's really, you know, under the hood here. But even that, like, that would surprise me. It's not that it's impossible. It's what I would try to do if I were the Mariners. But I think it would, I don't know, I think you got to give a guy more than a year. Otherwise, you're showing a lack of commitment to him that I'm not sure would be fair to his staff, to the folks underneath him. I don't think that's how you build the kind of culture they want.
Right, but all due respect to the Mariners, a team I've grown up watching, when have they successfully shown that they can build that culture?
Well, I think what they've done over the last couple of years has been something new. They have,
sure,
they
but
have
I
done
want,
something
I
new.
Have little faith that they, you know, I don't blame people, particularly my age or younger, from having little to no faith that the rebuild will be completed successfully.
Yeah, that's fair. But the
or
other,
that there will be buy-in and commitment from the Mariners.
The other side of that is, okay, well, if you want to live your life assuming that nothing good will happen, you can. But it makes it a lot less fun.
For sure.
Right? And yeah. And I think what we've seen, and I know that's popular to say, oh, the Mariners have been rebuilding for 30 years.
No, they haven't.
They haven't. The Mariners have never rebuilt. This is the first time they've ever taken it down to the studs and done it the right way. And every other little patchwork job they've done for the last 30 years hasn't worked.
To do
that's
it the
true.
Right way, you've got to be all in.
And they have been. And their farm
but
system has gone from one of the
DePoto.
Worst in baseball to one of the best. That's another feather in DePoto's
if
cap.
If they don't commit to DePoto, does it tell you they're not all in?
It tells me that they... It doesn't tell me that they don't like the job he's done.
Okay.
It tells me that either they think that there's someone better out there, or they're concerned about his ability to go to the next level. That he was the right job for this, but he's not a wartime consigliere. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Yeah.
But I think that would be all I'd have left to believe.
Now, we didn't. We spent a long time talking about DePoto and little to no time at all talking about Service. But I am fully on board with keeping Service here. I agree with you. Regardless of what you would do with DePoto, what Service has been able to do with this club this year is phenomenal.
I think Scott's one of the best managers in baseball.
Honestly, yes.
Like I don't know what he doesn't do that the best managers in baseball do, other than have a track record of winning, which is much more a function of the players on his team than the job he's done. He's managed his bullpen well and has gotten better at that as he's been around here longer. He gets more wins out of his team than the Pythagorean than the run differential. His teams have generally stayed together, stuck together, and played with joy. They generally play hard. They play smart. They don't make stupid base running errors at a large clip. That's not to say they never do. But you remember when Lloyd McClendon was here? Lloyd is a tough guy. You do it my way or the highway and then just go out there and play some baseball. Like,
that's exactly.
He was old school. His teams made base running errors on a nightly basis.
He had to walk them from base to base pregame.
And was it that same night that Cano made like
got
two outs?
Off the third.
It's unbelievable. Robbie Cano in one game made an out at all three bases.
That's
right?
The reverse cycle.
I've never seen anything like it. Scott's teams don't do that. Now, that's not to say they don't get picked off or they don't have issues. Of course they do. Every team does. 30 out of 30. But do you think that this team makes mistakes and plays bad mental baseball on a nightly basis? They don't. They play smart. They play hard. And those are the things that I'm looking for my manager to bring to the table. So, again, it's another feather in Jerry's cap is that he found and stuck with Scott, who I think is one of the better managers in the game.
All right, we'll get back to this. Right now, though, it's time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, he's not here today, but Jake Heaps completed the first obstacle in his American Ninja Warrior run on Monday night. So what is the real headline?
Headline rewrite. The show opened up their selections to include former quarterbacks for the first time. And good news for you, Mike. They're also opening up their selections to include sometimes once weekly podcast hosts.
That is nice. That is good news for me.
It is good news. I'm only sorry I don't have one about Aaron Rodgers today. Those are my favorites.
Sorry, I've said this a few times. I really do mean it. This is my favorite segment on the station. I love headline. It is legitimately the... A segment that will get me to like look around and be, 11:15, I want to be in my car.
That's
awesome.
I want
to hear what headline rewrite. I love this.
And so we obviously do
to be included
now,
is a huge honor.
You're welcome. There are many that Curtis and I have tried to float to Kyle, who's program director,
yeah,
and Kyle has said, no, I'm going to.
Too mean.
Too inappropriate.
Yeah.
Save them
FCC
somewhere
violations.
For the like behind the scenes documentary and the Jake and Stacey show.
Oh, yeah, the cutting room floor headlines are some of my favorites.
Well, I love it. I love this. I'm honored to be mentioned in one of your headline rewrites. So I watched last night, watched Jake, but everybody else. That doesn't look like fun at all. It just looks like a test of arm and finger strength, which I don't have a lot of.
Yeah, I also, I never like feeling 1,000 years old, just me personally. I don't know about you guys. And when one of the competitors, Ninja Cal, who did complete the course, congratulations, Cal, who's like 15 years old, said he grew up watching Ninja Warrior, being that he grew up watching a show that was in 2012, I truly felt like a skeleton.
He's growing up now.
I know.
I mean, what do you mean he grew up? He's literally growing up.
Man.
This is how I'm going to feel when we're interviewing like rookie Kraken players that were born in like 2003.
Yeah.
We're just going to be like, hey, so I was in high school.
I mean, we're bound to get Harry Ford on the station, I would imagine. First round pick, born in 2003. Who, by the way, we made the joke yesterday that like, oh, Harrison Ford, how funny.
Yeah.
That's actually his real first name is Harrison Ford.
Stop.
I'm not kidding.
Do you think he knows who Harrison Ford is?
No.
Boy, I don't think so.
I don't think...
You think he saw like Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls or whatever? And was,
he's like, this guy.
This guy's terrible.
Remember the quarterback the Seahawks drafted in the 6th or 7th round, Alex Magoo?
Alex Magoo. Yeah.
People would call him like Mr. Magoo during interviews. He had no idea what it was. No, he was
That's not true. He must have at some point found out who Mr. Magoo was.
No, I don't think so.
No, come on.
I'm not entirely certain who Mr. Magoo is.
He's blind. That's
his thing. I thought he was the Pink Panther man.
That's
the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Oh. That's it.
Headline rewrite.
No. His name, the Pink Panther, is the Pink Panther.
Right.
Who's the French detective?
Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, right. Okay.
Peter Sellers,
yeah.
Who plays him?
Yeah. Sure. Peter Sellers.
All right.
That's before my time, though. I want to be clear.
That's true. Which is way before
our
time.
Which is like
I'm like more Inspector Gadget is my time.
Headline number two, Pete Alonso defended his home run derby crown after beating Baltimore's Trey Mancini in the finals. What's the real headline?
Now the rewrite is really just a very honest question. No joke here. Why are we doing the home run derby in any other stadium besides Coors Field? And Salk, I don't want to hear your actual logistical questions about what do you do when the All-Star game isn't there. The answer is pay for flights for everyone and their families so that you can hit a bunch of dingers in Denver.
It was pretty cool just seeing how far they go. I mean, anything over 500 feet is ridiculous, right? I mean, that's so far. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch last night. The baseball did a great job with the All-Star game in general. They brought eyeballs and attention to the sport, something they often get criticized for not doing. Shohei Ohtani was a big part of that, but he was not the only part of it. I think he helped get the buzz around it, but I thought the event was executed and staged well, produced well by ESPN. Carl Ravitch did a really good job. I just thought the whole experience was pretty good last night.
Yeah, there were a lot of really cool stories to come out of it, too. Obviously, Trey Mancini making it to the finals. Juan Soto might have had the longest shot, not chances, but the longest homer of the night. But Pete Alonso just looked...
So is it a little weird? He's much more into it than the other guys.
I don't think...
Right?
I think everyone's into it. That was his thing. Yeah, I think it was just a little bit of... No. Not bad cockiness, but he was just hanging out. He reminded me of someone my friend used to date, and I told you this earlier, where it's just like he wasn't always complete. He was just vibing in his own world.
No,
that's
he's like a guy where everyone else is playing ping pong, but he's playing table tennis. Like, he's got his he's got his special bandana on.
Shirt's all sweaty after he's playing.
Shirt. He's got a uniform for playing table tennis.
How much of this was impacted
by... It's a onesie. Like, he's way more into the derby than anyone else.
How much of this was impacted by the quick shot of the kid being, like, carried off the field and him still...
Dude, I don't care about that kid's life. Oh, that kid's dying out on the field from one of my rocket shots? Whatever. More
dingers. Learn how
dingers.
To bat some balls.
Pete Alonso's that guy that goes bowling with a group of friends, and he's got the arm brace on and his own bag and his own ball. It's a bit much sometimes. I will say, Major League Baseball tends to barf all over itself in certain areas. The All-Star Game is not one of those.
No.
They put on a really good All-Star Game.
It was so fun. It was fun to watch them have fun. I loved it.
Headline rewrite.
Number three, Team USA basketball is now 0-2 in Olympic tune-ups following their loss to Australia on Monday night. So what is the real headline?
Team USA now with the same record as Stephen A. Smith after a pair of apologies Monday. Now, I will say, Stephen A. Smith's second apology, I felt, was a much better
pretty good apology. I don't know what else you'd want from an apology.
No, I thought it was a much better apology. His first attempt was kind of accidentally doubling down. And then sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? My bad. I didn't mean for it to come out the way I did, or I didn't mean to imply this.
You did a pretty good job with that, I thought. I don't even know who's on Team USA to tell you whether or not it's a good thing that they're losing. Are there real players on Australia? Is Luke Longley on that team?
No. No Luke Longley. No Andrew Bogut. None of those guys.
I told you, I went to the 96 Olympics. I saw Team USA beat Australia. They had a little gunner named Shane Heal.
Team Australia men's don't wear the one-piece suit.
They should.
The women's team does, which is kind of an odd look.
Isn't there the guy who went to St. Mary's from Australia?
Patty Mills. Yeah, Patty Mills is actually, no joke, is going to be Australia's flag carrier. I don't know how I know that.
Why do you
but
know
I heard
these
that.
Random things? You just have things in your brain that you know. It's weird, Curtis. It's not healthy.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Patty Mills.
Is someone texting in Patty Mills at the same time? Someone else texting in. Pete Alonso is the guy that brings his own pool cue to the bar.
Yes,
a couple more comparisons of like Pete Alonso brings his own spatula and grill tools to your barbecue.
Yes.
That's also true.
That's who it is.
What is your favorite Olympic memory? Oh, do you have time for that? Maybe.
No, let's carry it into 1:30. We'll keep this going. Plus, what I need to know coming up at 45 after. Mike Salk is in for Jake. So if you guys have any questions, Seahawks, Mariners, MLB, literally anything, get them in now for 1:45's What I Need to Know. It's all coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
What I need to know, come your way in 15 minutes. Get those questions in, you guys. I'm seeing some good ones so far. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. This one, I'm going to get to. It says, what I need to know. Salk and other hosts, you all do a lot of home improvement spots, like commercials. They all have a personal story with them. Do you really have that many issues with your homes? We're going to get to that at 45 after, because I need to know also. So what I need to know coming up at 45 after, 710-710. Get your questions in. Salk, before we went to break, you asked, what is your favorite Olympic memory?
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about the Summer Olympics. I'm not going to limit it to the Summer Olympics, though, because Randy texted in that the Miracle on Ice is his. So from that you've experienced, you've watched, you've been at, whatever. What's yours?
Well, I asked you first. Like, what's your favorite winter or summer?
Mine was, I love gymnastics normally. It normally is my favorite event, but mine specifically was watching Michael Phelps and Team USA with Ryan Lochte, who was insane, and all of those guys chasing after the record for gold medals.
I love the guys like Ryan Lochte. I love the second banana guys.
He's such a bro. He was the Gronk of the water.
But
that's what he was.
I just like the second bananas. Like,
yeah.
So you got Lindsey Vonn, right, who's sort of a Michael Phelps of downhill skiing, right? But then do you remember Julie Mancuso?
Oh, they were kind of catty too.
Exactly. It was very much, she's very much to Ryan Lochte.
Now,
as
I didn't get
Lindsay
the impression Lochte didn't like Phelps.
Well,
maybe low key, but what are you going to do? Michael Phelps was dominating. You can't really be jealous when it's rightfully
Mancuso
earned.
Was more like she just would always get overlooked because she wasn't Lindsay Vonn, right? The same way Tonya Harding would get overlooked because she wasn't Nancy Kerrigan.
But Ryan Lochte had a kind of a personality and looks appeal that Phelps didn't to people. Like, Lochte was out here trying to sign deals for reality TV shows, whereas Michael Phelps wasn't.
I remember the story with
Ryan
Lochte.
Now he looks like George Mirazon.
There was that controversy where, like,
the gas station
in Brazil.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what happened, but he, like, trashed a gas station in Brazil and, like, claimed he'd gotten robbed when really it was just...
Also,
being drunk.
As a former high school swimmer, not a college swimmer, I was one time introduced to someone who did compete in Stanford swimming, and they were like, "Stacy was a swimmer," and I needed to be like, "No, no, 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 we are not the same." But as someone who at least participated in the sport, it was cool to pretend to know more than I really did. Like, it was cool to turn to friends and be like, "Oh, this right here, this is what we call fly. This is what we call a medley." In my field.
Of course, you're saying it to your friends' backs as they walked
that's
away.
That's exactly what, that's correct.
I have so many, I love the Olympics. I don't know whether you would know that or guess that necessarily about me, but I have a million of my, like, I don't know that I could narrow it to just one. I always watch the Olympics and memorable stuff always happens.
Sure.
I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, just the names and the stories that you'd get invested in. Alberto Tomba from Italy as a skier. I watched Katarina Witt ice skate every single time she was there, and it was, like, meaningful and important. The whole Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing was a huge deal when it happened, and obviously Nancy Kerrigan's from Boston. Mm-hmm. So that just created an even bigger story from where we were. Gosh, I mean, Sidney Crosby scoring the goal. I was here in Seattle. We were watching at the Loft in Ballard. That was an incredible moment. I mean, obviously, Team USA lost, but it was still incredible to watch and highly memorable. Michael Johnson, the, you know, doing the 200 and 400 and the upright running style and dominating and breaking records doing that. Watching, Carl Lewis when I was a kid, and then when the dude from Canada got suspended.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson got suspended. I mean, the Olympics lead to incredible. I watched Mary Lou Retton in '84. That was amazing. But I think ultimately the number one for me is Carrie Strug landing the vault. I think that's the best thing I've ever seen in the Olympics.
Yeah,
she had like a broken ankle.
Yes,
and she landed on it and didn't move. It's impossible.
Gymnastics. Sidebar. Because we're getting some other submissions here. Do you think that it's clear peak athleticism, but do you think sometimes it gets overlooked as how athletic and physically demanding it is?
Not anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, I think Simone Biles and some of the other folks that have I think that probably has changed the game because they are just so incredibly athletic. But, you know, those gymnastics, especially the women, have gone on to really be heroes. I mean, Mary Lou Retton was... I can't even describe to you what a big star she was in the mid 80s. I mean, she hit the perfect 10 back, and they should go back to giving out perfect 10s. It's annoying that they have this new screwy system. But when she had a perfect 10 and people like lost their mind, especially at that point where it was still very like Cold War era. And it wasn't just that the Russians were good, but a lot of the like communist nations in Eastern Europe were great. And the sport had been dominated by Nadia Comaneci and some of these other Eastern European women. For her to go out there in 84 and do that, at the time, this may not be true anymore, she was the only woman ever to have simultaneously been on the cover of Sports Illustrated, People, Time, and Newsweek.
Do you think the Olympics used to be more, I don't want to say more celebrated, but sometimes when I hear about the biggest culturally or the most culturally impactful moments from the Olympics, it always feels like in years past, and I can't tell if it's just because we're in the present and you have hindsight.
Maybe, or maybe when you're a kid, you have more, or maybe even just in, I think we used to have more time to watch the Olympics, right? Like, I don't know, but I think a lot of these things will continue. You know, some of these are for not that long ago. Some of them are. Yeah, the Jamaican bobsled team was another one. Mm-hmm. Rulon Gardner finding a way in Greco-Roman wrestling to beat some guy that was supposedly unbeatable. Thanks for a few of the texts there. Like, Usain Bolt. Like, somebody always seems to come around and capture the attention of the country or the world. And because it's all on, like, and it's what we're watching, and all the other sports generally kind of go away during that time, I think it just lends itself to really great stories.
Curtis, what was yours?
Well, I would say two specific races from Michael Phelps. The relay race where the French team was the heavy favorites. Alain Bernard was the French guy. And then Jason Lezak just gaining on him and then takes over and wins like on the final stroke. And then I believe it was for either gold medal number 7 or gold medal number 8.
Which
it was either tie or break
insane.
Mark Spitz's record, where Michael Phelps won it on the final stroke as the other guy was kind of like coasting into the wall. And Phelps is like, all right, I got one more stroke in me, and he beats him.
Yes.
Those two races to me are like the peak of just my Olympic
fame. But you also get the other cool thing about the Olympics is you get the negative stories too. I mean, like Greg Louganis hitting his head on the diving board when I was a kid was incredibly impactful, right? And then obviously his story took on more and more meaning off the board, pool, away from the pool. It's not off the field, but away from the pool as
us swimmers and divers say.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know. I think the Olympics tends to lend itself very well to memorable moments.
Yeah, we got my favorite memory from the text line 360. My favorite memory was the original Dream Team.
Yeah.
Amazing. Lots of gymnastics. Michaela Maroney's perfect vault that was not perfect in terms of score from the 360. Let's see.
Text message. Hitting his head on the diving board was impactful.
No!
Good one, Salk. All right. That's not what I was trying to say.
All right, you guys have been awesome. So many good submissions here. Actually, I need you to keep them coming because what I need to know is coming your way in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Salk is in for Jake today. 710-710. Mac and Jack's text line. Get your questions in. What I need to know right around the corner.
To Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. You're listening to Jake and Stacy. Mike Salk in for Jake Heaps today. Jake's going to be back tomorrow. He's at a football camp. So get your questions in. If you have some for Mike specifically, 710-710. Mac and Jack's text line. Someone earlier texted in and they said, Mike, you and a couple other people at the station do a lot of reads for home improvement places. And what I need to know, they all have a personal story with them. Do you really have that many issues with your homes?
Yeah.
All these seem pretty excessive.
No, I have that many issues. Here's the thing. I can't do anything by myself at my, like, I can't fix anything. I've fixed very, very few things, and I don't trust myself to do much, but I certainly can't do any plumbing. I got an old house. My house is like, I don't know, close to 100 years old, 90 years old. I mean, it's been renovated.
Your house
then.
Is 100 years old.
I think it's like 90. I think it was built in the 20s.
Wow.
Maybe it's later than that. 40s? I don't know, whatever. It's more than 50 years old.
All we know is it has huge monster rats, a leaky roof.
Yeah. Not anymore, though. But we got rid of all those things.
Right.
But they did have rats, and it did have a problem with the roof, and there isn't
much
insulation.
Thanks to Jafco Plumbing and Sewer.
Yeah. Jafco and Riverside
exactly
and Crawl
right.
Pros.
Riverside Roofing and Crawl Pros.
They've helped. They've helped quite a bit.
What do you do for ghosts?
Now, I've only had one ghost. Do you remember my story about the ghost?
No.
Oh, my God.
Mike, do you believe in ghosts?
Not until this happened to me.
Was this recent?
It was a couple of years ago. Heather and I were asleep in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, we heard like a pretty loud conversation going on downstairs. So the way our house is, you know, we're upstairs in the top floor.
Was it the rat?
Kids are in the main floor, and then there's a basement. No. So we went downstairs. I got like a golf club. Heather and I went down together. I was trying to push her to go do it. But and there was nobody there, and there's no. And then we start hearing voices like in the basement.
Oh, why
like
am I letting this
pretty
scare
loud
me?
Conversation? So Heather and I was like, "You go first." So she's going. We go down together. We peer
into
the basement.
You made Heather go first, but you had the golf club.
Yes. And sure enough, I think I went first, but we went together. I was not going by myself.
Sure.
But the television was on really loudly, and I'm getting the chills just telling the story again. The television was on really loudly in the basement. There was no way it was on when we went to sleep. It wasn't even onto a station that we watch. It was on like a cable news station, which we don't watch. And we got down there and it was like blasting. You kind of have to go, you know where my basement TV is, where we watch the basketball games?
Yeah.
Where you kind of have to go around that corner. I was positive I was going to see somebody like sitting on that couch. There's nobody there, just TV going full blast in the middle of the night.
Oh.
Ghost.
Ooh. Curtis, do you have a ghost story?
No, I don't.
Oh, I wish I did.
That just reminds me of that episode of Nathan For You where they have the ghost real estate agent. Real estate agent slash medium. And that's like how they get business is that they'll sell your house and they can also prove that it's ghost free.
You need to watch Nathan For You.
I've
and I know, but you don't like cringe humor, so you've talked about not liking cringe humor.
I think it's okay. It's not my
so
favorite.
Funny. Oh, I've watched
every episode of that show.
I love
perfect.
Nathan For You. I don't. Hey, Salk from the 509. Can you do your Reese's Pieces voice again?
No, that was a one-time deal.
Are you sure?
I forget what that was. It was something about like having a mouthful of Reese's Pieces in your mouth and trying to talk. I forget. I'll have to think about that one.
What I need to know, tucked or untucked shirts? Very random questions today. Get some answer the question jerk vibes.
Yeah. This is an answer the question.
Untucked.
Jerk.
No. Untucked?
Untucked.
But Curtis, you don't own anything that's not a t-shirt.
I have golf shirts. I have two suits. But I'm going untucked. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I go back and forth. Depends on the shirt.
From the 253, what's Mike's favorite Rush album? You were tweeting about Rush the other day. Where this comes from?
Okay. I mean, what's my favorite Rush album? It's probably Moving Pictures, but gosh, it's like choosing between your children.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about
All 20 of them.
What I need to know, I'm curious what the three of you feel should not be an Olympic sport. I don't know if it still is, but speedwalking definitely shouldn't be. Chris and Enumclaw.
I don't have a problem with that stuff. Speedwalking, I think, is hard. It's got really specific rules about, like, one foot has to be touching the ground at all times. So it takes incredible body control, and I don't know. I don't care. Like, you know what? Just bring me the Olympics, and if there's extra sports in there that they're trying to figure out how well they go, like, fine. I don't care.
What I need to know, what would you give up for Trevor Story?
Probably not too much, because you're only getting him for the last couple months of the season.
Well, and you could get him without having to get
That's right.
something.
But, yeah. But that being said, would I be willing to give up something to A, have him for the rest of this year, and B, find out whether or not he can hit somewhere other than Coors Field? I'd give up something, but not a ton.
Now, was he the one that was linked to the trade reports that someone... It was Trevor Story, right? Someone had already been traded?
Yeah, but it was just a random account on Twitter that had tweeted something saying that the Rockies have a deal in place to move Trevor Story after the All-Star game, but they wanted him there to be the Rockies representative. But it was...
That would be very Rockies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be bad. What
it
I
just
liked,
seems like someone taking a shot at the Rockies.
What I liked was the joke coming out of it. Someone tweeted where they should do the home run derby like a gender reveal, only instead of pink or blue, the ball explodes with the colors of the team that Trevor Story is going to get traded to. what I need to know, who are the Mariners catchers and bench players of 2022? All of them.
All of them,
Mike. Go through the entire roster.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, that's fine. That's totally fair. What I need to know, were you hoping Trey Mancini won instead, knowing Pete Alonso only makes $660,000 this year?
I was rooting for Alonso. He's taking it more seriously. He's into it. I think that's good for baseball. Obviously, Mancini's story of surviving cancer, coming back, playing this year is a fantastic one. But I thought I was rooting for Alonso. I thought that was great. It was great fun. The whole thing was fun.
From the two.
What do you make of Trey Mancini's agent being Mark Rogers?
Is that true?
Wait,
it's
really?
True. Yeah.
I didn't know
like
that.
Mark Rogers, Russell Wilson,
really
Mark Rogers,
or is it
really
mostly
Mark
Derek
Rogers.
Broniker?
I thought he wasn't doing baseball stuff anymore.
I mean, they're represented by the same people. Russell Wilson tweets about Trey Mancini all the time.
But I guess it never caught on to it because
Derek
I get so confused.
Like guy.
He's tweeting about Trey Mancini in between the Gucci ads. It confuses me sometimes. I don't
It's Mark Rogers.
Wow. Hmm. 206, I feel like Salk would get rid of soccer at the Olympics.
Do they have soccer at the Olympics?
They do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they should get rid of that. It's supposed to be for sports.
From the 253, is a hot dog considered a sandwich?
Ugh.
No.
Ugh.
No. No, it's not. People get a little too liberal with thinking that anything between bread is a sandwich.
I love a hot dog,
a little
though.
Too liberal with the definition of a sandwich. You'd be restrictive.
Don't sleep on a good hot dog.
No, hot dogs are great.
Like a really good hot dog. Tough to beat, man. I love a good Chicago. You ever had like the whole Chicago hot dog experience?
No, what's a Chicago hot dog?
It has to do with like the specific things, like the type of roll, and then it's only mustard with sport peppers and a special like neon relish, and celery salt. And they're delicious.
Now I just want a hot dog. Now, see, I'm starving. We talked about how this show overlaps with lunch. I'm glad everyone listening can enjoy their lunch and have a great time. I'm starving. What I need to know, Salk, do you like being back on the radio from time to time, or do you miss being back every day?
This is fun. I enjoy the occasional toe dipped into the water.
You don't want too much of me and Curtis.
Well, I mean.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I mean.
It's just one of us he doesn't want a full day of.
But nobody knows which one.
Yeah. Is it me?
Tune in to find out.
Jake, we'll be
coming
back tomorrow.
Next.
Until then, Mike, Salk, thank you so much for joining us today, helping out. This is a great time.
Yes.
Lots of baseball talk today. It was fun.
Thanks for letting me hang out with
you
guys.
All right, don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.